This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 4099 for Thursday, the 18th of April, 2024. Today's show is entitled, Introducing Home Automation and Home Assistant. It is hosted by Ken Fallon and is about 15 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, a new series about all things home automation, this time an introduction to Home Assistant. Today's show is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon, and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today's episode is an introduction to a new series here in HPR called Home Automation or the Internet of Things. This is the first episode in the series, and I encourage everybody to contribute if you can. So, first of all, let's talk about what home automation is, and for that we'll go to the home automation page on Wikipedia, and it says, home automation or domotics is a building automation for the home. A home automation system will monitor and or control home attributes such as lighting, climate, entertainment systems and appliances. It may also include home security, such as access control and alarm systems. The phrase home smart home refers to home automation devices that have internet access. Home automation, a broader category, includes any devices that can be monitored or controlled via wireless radio signals, not just having internet access. When connected to the internet, home sensors and activation devices are important constituents of the Internet of Things, IoT. A home automation system typically connects control devices to a central smart home hub, sometimes called a gateway. The user interface for the control of the system uses either wall-mounted terminals, tablets, or desktop computers, a mobile phone application, or a web interface that may be accessible off-site through the internet. So that is home automation. And a lot of that I have some issues with. For example, the information requiring internet access. And that has been justified in the years that I have been looking into this topic. So I started looking into it some years ago and actually got quite frustrated by the amount of configuration that was needed when I'm trying to get Arduinos or ESP32s or Raspberry Pis connected. And it involved a lot of wiring, hacking, different firmwares, writing images, etc. But in the intervening times, a lot has changed. Not only have people become aware of the fact that smart homes and Internet of Things, the security implications of that, a lot of the services have gone bust, left people with devices that no longer function at worst, and at best are running out-of-date software. There has been a lot of information about breaches, security breaches that have taken place where the devices have been taken over. Covered here on our own security and privacy series if you want to look up some of those. But a lot of that has changed recently, and I've been encouraged by my colleagues to get back into this whole idea of controlling and automating your home. Something as simple as turning on lights, knowing what the temperature is outside, and they have cases where they do quite a lot of automations for growing plants, for monitoring their energy consumption, solar panel utilization, and all that sort of stuff. So now is a good time to get back into it, I feel. And I've dipped my toe into the water a little bit. I've ordered some devices for testing. I've got a Raspberry Pi 5, and I've got some devices here, and we'll walk you through in this series the installation of it on a Raspberry Pi and on a spare computer, Intel-based computer that you have knocking around. Then we'll hopefully go on to be able to do other things, but that's the commitment now, three episodes. So we'll see how we go. If you're interested in taking a deep dive, I've linked to six of the smart home channels that I've subscribed to over the past year or two, in order of the ones that I have watched the most. I'm not completely finished watching all of them. I've got some good information out of all of them, so there are some tips there. So one of the main things that you will need when you're doing home automation is something to act as your hub, your gateway. And for me, I'm going to use Home Assistant. If you want to contribute other episodes on other gateways, then feel free to do that. So I'll go to the Wikipedia page again and read you about Home Assistant. It is a free open source software for home automation, designed to be an internet of things, ecosystem independent integration platform and central control system for smart home devices, with a focus on local control and privacy. It can be accessed through a web-based user interface, by a companion application for Android or iOS, or by voice commands via a supported virtual assistant such as Google Assistant or Amazon Alexa, and their own Assist, which is a built-in local voice assistant. The Home Assistant software application is installed as a computer appliance. After installation, it will act as a central console system for the home automation, commonly called a smart home hub, that has the purpose of controlling Internet of Things connectivity technology devices, software, applications, and services from third parties via a modular integrated components, including native integration components for common wireless communication protocols such as Bluetooth, Threads, Zigbee, and Z-Wave, which is used to create local personal area networks with small low-power digital radios. Home Assistant, as such, supports controlling devices and services connected via either open or proprietary ecosystems, as long as they provide public access via some kind of open API or MQTT for a third-party integration over the local area network or the internet. Information for all devices and their attributes, entities, that the application can be used, controlled from within scripts, trigger automations using scheduling, and blueprint subroutines, for example, controlling lights, climate, entertainment systems, and home appliances. End quote. Wow, that was a lot. So basically, it's something you install, takes over that device. You can communicate via a web page, via an app, via virtual assistants. It reads information from sensors. It can act on stuff. It can communicate, for example, the motion sensor from one vendor can communicate with it, that when the motion sensor activates, that you turn on a light using a smart plug adapter from another provider. And all those things called like Bluetooth, Threads, Zigbee, and Z-Wave are communication lightweight wireless protocols that these devices use. Quite a lot of devices in the markets now use Wi-Fi as well, so you can connect to them via Wi-Fi. And there's, of course, nothing stopping you communicating with devices over regular old Ethernet. So think a Raspberry Pi connected over an Ethernet cable, with sensors connected to the GPIO ports. That's the sort of integration that you can do. So let's get the summary. It was written by Paul Schouten, and it's now currently developed by the Home Assistant Core team and community. It was initially released in 2013. The repository is on GitHub, homeassistant.com/homeassistant. It's a Python-based application, although you won't see much of that. And it is a virtual appliance, so it kind of takes over the device that you're going to be running. You can also run it as a Docker container, etc. So we might get into that later on. And it's released under an Apache license, so free and open source. And the Home Assistant URL is home-assistant.io. I'll be covering the installation in other episodes, but I want to go through the concepts and terminology from the Home Assistant webpage, which is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License link in the show notes. And there's also some images and screenshots of the thing in the show notes as well. So I'll read this out for you here. Integrations. So there's various different things here that we need to, terminology that we need to know about. Home Assistant is often referred to as HA. So if you're searching, HA might be a good search term for you. There are such a things as integrations, which are pieces of software that allow Home Assistant to connect to other software platforms. For example, a product by Philips called Hue would use the Philips Hue integration and allow Home Assistant to talk to the hardware controller Hue Bridge. Any Home Assistant compatible devices connected to the Hue Bridge would appear in Home Assistant as a device. And there's links to a full list of compatible integrations and integration documents. Once an integration has been added, the hardware and or data are represented in the Home Assistant as devices and entities. So an entity are basic building blocks that hold data on the Home Assistant. An entity represents a sensor, an actor, or a function in Home Assistant. Entities are used to monitor physical properties or to control other entities. An entity is usually part of a device or a service, and entities have states. Let's not worry too much about all of this for now, but these are terms that we're going to be touching on later, and if needed, we can dive in deeper. So let's talk about devices now. There are logical groupings of one or more entities. A device may represent a physical device, which can have one or more sensors. A sensor appears as entities associated with a device. For example, a motion sensor is represented as a device. It may provide motion detection, temperature, and light levels as entities. Entities have states such as detected, when motion is detected, or clear, when there is no motion. Devices and entities are used throughout Home Assistant. To name a few examples, you have a dashboard, which can show the state of an entity. For example, the light is on or it's off. In an automation that can trigger a state of an entity, for example, a motion sensor detects motion and triggers a light to turn on. It can also be a preferred color or brightness, which you would save in a scene. So, areas. An area in Home Assistant is a logical grouping of devices and identities that are meant to match areas or rooms. In the physical world, your home. For example, the living room area group, devices and entities that are in your living room. Areas allow you to target service calls at an entire group of devices. For example, turning off all the lights in the living room. Locations within your home, such as living room, dance floor, etc. Areas can be assigned to floors. Areas can be used to automatically generate cards, such as an area card. And then we move on to automations. This is the most interesting one for me. Automations, a set of repeatable actions that can be set up to run automatically. Automations are made of three key components. A trigger, which is an event that starts the automation. For example, when the sun sets or a motion sensor is activated. Number two is a condition. Conditional tests that must be met before the action is run. For example, is somebody home? Action number three is an action itself. Interaction with the devices, such as turning on the lights. So to learn about basic automations, you can refer to the Automation Basic page or try creating an automation yourself. And then we have scripts. Now, they're similar to automations. Scripts are repeatable actions that can be run. The difference between scripts and automations is that scripts do not have triggers. This means that a script cannot automatically run unless they are used in automations. So scripts are particularly useful if you want to perform some action in different automations or trigger them on the dashboard. For information on how to create scripts, see the documentation. Only two more to go. Next one is scenes. Scenes allow you to predefine settings for your device, similar to driving mode on your phone or driver profile in cars. It can change the environment to suit you. For example, you're watching the film scene, may dim the lights and switch on the TV and increase its volume. This can be saved as a scene and used without having to set individual devices every time. and the scene documentation will give you more information on that. Then we have add-ons. So depending on your installation type, you can install third-party add-ons, which are usually apps that you can run in Home Assistant that can run with Home Assistant, but provide a quick and easy way to install, configure, and run within Home Assistant. Add-ons provide additional functionality, whereas integrations connect Home Assistant to other apps. So that is the start of the series, and hopefully there will be more episodes soon. And as I said before, if you want to follow along, please do so. And if you have been involved in smart homes or some of the issues around or associated with this series, get in touch, record a series yourself, record an episode yourself. And with that, I'll ask you to tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio.
Have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, you can click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.